If you would, please get your Bibles and turn to Leviticus, the 8th chapter. Leviticus 8. Beginning at this particular chapter here, we have the onset after God has given the Mosaic Law to Moses. Moses having taught the people and also given Moses instruction of how to build and assemble and carry out the worship that was to take place in the tabernacle, where the priest would do service for the people, the priest in the holy place, and of course, once a year, when Aaron would enter into the Holy of Holies or Most Holy Place. And it is in here in the 8th chapter of Leviticus that Aaron and his sons are consecrated before God and for the people. Consecration of cleansing of sin with the washing of the sons and wearing also the priestly garments and the high priest garments in the case of Aaron. And all of this in preparation, and not only preparation, but also that which was required by God for the priest and the high priest to wear and to do in service before God. That in accordance with God's law that he gave. And they had placed upon them this clothing that we see here, verse 7 of chapter 8. He put the coat on him, talking about Aaron, after they had been washed with water, the symbolizing of the cleansing of themselves. And he put the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band on the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And the breastplate, and in the breastpiece was the Urim and the Thummim. And all of that in connection with the consecration of the high priest. And then the anointing oil was given to anoint not only the tabernacle, but also each one of the priests. Some was poured on Aaron in his head and anointed him with that consecration oil. That was verse 12. And part of that had to do with not only in keeping with God's law, so that they would be fit for service, but also for the people to recognize who their leaders were, their spiritual leaders of the congregation. And there were sacrifices and offerings that were made, of course, for Aaron and his sons, because they, being just men, also had sin accountable to them. And so they did all of that, and they killed the sacrifices and did exactly as God had told them to do, as Moses was giving instruction to them, because he was mediator of the law. And we see that this went on, this consecration, for 8 days. And when we go to the 9th chapter of Leviticus, that there is still offerings that need to be made, not only for those priests, but also for the people. There is a sin offering to be made. There is a ram that is offered. There's a bull that is offered. There is the goat that is the sin offering that is offered for all the people. And there's instruction that went along with that, where if you look back in the 6th chapter and verse 26 of Leviticus, it says, "The priest who offers it for a sin shall eat it in a holy place. It shall be eaten in the court of the tent of meeting." I want you to remember that as we go down through this lesson, that this sin offering that was made for the people was to be eaten by the priest. And it was to be eaten in a holy place, because it was most holy before God. And we go back and we see that these things continue on, where there were offerings that were made, and that God's law was being kept, and everything was being adhered to in accordance with God's law. Every aspect of this worship, the things that they wore, the way that they conducted themselves, the things that that were being given before God, all was in accordance with God's will in worship and service to him. Then we turn over to the 10th chapter, one that we're very familiar with. Because it is during this time of consecration, and it's during this time in recognition of who the priests are and who the high priest is and the offerings that are given to the Lord, making sacrifice to him by these priests and by the high priest also, that we have the account now in Leviticus the 10th chapter. And remember, as we go into this, that every one of those things that they did, these priests and the high priest, everything that they did was in accordance with the direction that was given by them through Moses of what God's will was. And then we come to the 10th chapter and verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. When you go back and look, you think about this situation. It's not that they didn't know what they were to do. In Exodus, the 30th chapter, verses 8 and 9, we even have described for us there in connection with this fire, the burning of incense, and that incense was to be made in accordance with the recipe that God gave for that incense, which was to be offered before him. Every aspect was covered by God's law. They knew exactly what to do. They could not say that it was ignorance that took place for them to offer that which was not authorized by God. It was spelled out by Moses. It was given by the hand of the mediator to the high priest and the priest in their service before God. Ignorance was not an excuse. And then we come down to Leviticus 10 and verse 2. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. There was a statement that is being made by God at this time. There was a statement that is being made by what happened to Nadab and Abihu that was an example to all the people concerning how sacred God's commands are. Whenever I teach people that are not Christians, I teach people many times that don't even have a real good Bible background. This is one of the verses that I use in connection with really what God is saying by the action that he caused against Nadab and Abihu at that time. Why he took their lives. And the point that I make concerning this is God determines how he is worshipped. And it's application not only to them, but also it's an application to each and every one of us. That God determines how he's worshipped. It is not man's determination of how to worship God. What man thinks is right, what man thinks is wrong, what it is that he offers before God, but rather what God determines concerning worship unto him could only be determined by God because we cannot even direct ourselves. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself and is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, much less to know how to worship God in the way that God wishes to be worshipped. We would not know what to do unless God gave us commandment. We're going to mention this aspect a little bit later on in the lesson about what happened to Nadab and Abihu. But remember this, God is making a statement. And he goes on, and as we see in verse 3, and Moses says this to Aaron after Nadab and Abihu are struck dead by the Lord. He says in verse 3, this is what the Lord has said. Again, the mediator doing his job. And he has just lost two of his nephews, just to put it in perspective, because Aaron and Moses were brothers, and now Moses has just lost two of his nephews. And being focused on the work of mediator, he does the work of mediator even in that situation. This is what the Lord has said. He still mediates the law to Aaron and the remaining sons, and in essence, as we're going to see, to all of Israel. He says, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. What he means by those who are near me, those that are in the service of the priesthood and the high priest. Those that are near me, I will be set apart. I will be viewed as holy. I will understand that I am the holy and omnipotent and all-powerful God that directs how I'm going to be worshipped. I will be sanctified. And that is the mediator talking. And that mediator talking here is talking in accordance with God's will. And what he said as the mediator was absolutely true. God says, I will be sanctified. And that's what the mediator said that just lost two of his nephews. And then that mediator says, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And wherever you look at that statement, what he's saying is, those that do service for me will show forth my glory rather than their own glory and their own mind and their own will and what they want to do. They will show forth glory unto me because they follow my word. They follow my instruction. They follow that which I have authorized. And then we see this statement at the end of verse 3. And Aaron held his peace. Put this in perspective also. This man, Aaron, although high priest, has just lost two of his sons in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Because of disobedience before God, he holds his peace. He realizes that there's nothing that he can say in accusation against Moses, who is the mediator, who's doing his job. And there's not one thing that he can say against God, the God of heaven that gave the law to Moses, because God determines how he is worshipped, and he will not be made mockery of by man. Aaron held his peace. You know, it shows to me that Aaron understood. Aaron was a thinking man. And I know that he is grieved at this time, and this will be evident later on as we get into this lesson, but he is grieved at this time. He just lost two of his sons. He has others, but he lost two of his sons. In a split second, they're gone. But also, he is not only a thinking man, he is a spiritual man, because he realizes that everything that Moses says, the mediator of the law, who is mediating the law at this present time, directly to Aaron and his sons, what he's saying, he recognizes as the truth. A great character that is shown in Aaron at this time, because he recognized the truth, even surely in the sorrow and pain that he's going through at this time, because he just lost two sons. In verse 4, it says that Aaron called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. They had been cremated by God. The remains then were to be taken outside the camp, and it fell then upon the Levites to do that, because they were, of course, blood relatives, not directly with Aaron, but or with Aaron at this time, but it fell upon the Levites to do this work. So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said, as Moses had commanded. Again, the mediator doing God's will and mediating law before them. And Moses said to, verse 6, Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, two more sons now that are left. And he says this to Aaron also. Aaron, who's just lost two children, Eleazar and Ithamar, who has just lost two brothers. This is what the mediator says. The one that mediates directly from God, the law of God, which is authoritative, which must be adhered to, which the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, did not do, but rather they offered that which is unauthorized before God and paid the price. This is what this mediator says as he's doing the rightful work of mediator. He says to Aaron, Eleazar, and Ithamar, who are surely in mourning at this time, verse 6, do not let the hair of your heads hang loose. Do not tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. He's saying to them, I'm going to go down to verse 7, and do not go outside the entrance of the tent meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you, and they did according to the word of Moses. The mediator of God's law that is mediating that law, book, chapter, and verse, so to speak, has told these three men that are in mourning at the time, one that has lost two sons, two brothers that have lost their brothers. you do not show any mourning. You do not show any deference toward those that were disobedient to the word of God, that is your brothers. You don't accuse God in any way. As a matter of fact, if there is to be any mourning that is done, it does not befall you because of your position as high priest and also as priest before God, and you recognize that sin has taken place. You let the house of Israel mourn over the brothers, but you don't do it. And not only that, you continue with your work and service as high priest and priest. You do not go outside the tent of meeting lest you die, because you are the anointed of the Lord to do service unto God for all the people. You are the examples that set forth what it is to be a true Israelite, a true chosen child of God before all of Israel. We understand that this was a dire situation. We understand certainly the mourning that was there. We understand the work of the mediator. We understand the mourning that took place by Aaron and his sons. We understand, though, that they had an office to fulfill and that they were examples before all the people. We don't really know for sure what caused Nadab and Abihu to do what they did, but it's interesting right here when we come down to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, in verse 9. Actually, in verse 8, the Lord speaks now to Aaron. And in saying Aaron, he's also speaking to the sons of Aaron that are left. It says, drink no wine or strong drink with you or your sons with you. When you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. I think, and I'm again, I would not be dogmatic about this, but I think that there is a possibility that Nadab and Abihu became inebriated and tried to fulfill the function of their priestly work in an inebriated situation and did not use good judgment and sinned against the Lord because of that. And if that is the case, the reason that the Lord did not show mercy upon them was they were not fit for service and entered into then the worship service of the Lord without being fit and without being sober and without understanding the true awesome responsibility they had as priests. Again, I would not be dogmatic about it, but I find it interesting here in verses 8 and 9 that this is brought up in the account. But then Moses also is saying, or the Lord is saying, and I believe that it is probably through Moses, verse 10, you are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And what is meant by this is that you are to understand what God has sanctified and worshiped to Himself, and that you not include or exclude anything that the God of heaven has not authorized. You are to distinguish between your work and what you supply in your work and what you offer to the Lord, between that which is truly holy and that which is every day. I'll just make an application here for us today, that there are those that enter into a so-called worship service in the most relaxed state that they possibly can be, where they have home sweet home anytime they go to church services, and that they don't even recognize that they are in a situation where they need to worship God and distinguish between the holy and the commonplace. And that happens not only from the standpoint of dress and so forth, but also the type of services that are offered in some churches, where it's just like going out to be entertained. And then he says in verse 11, and you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses. You are to adhere to the mediator of the law, because I speak to him, he speaks to you, he gives the law to you, he mediates that law. And you are to teach the people in connection with between that which is holy and that which is common, and you are the examples of that in your worship and service to me. And then Moses speaks to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar in verse 12. And these are the surviving sons, as it says there in verse 12. Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. There's not a pause for any purpose whatsoever. There's not a pause by this mediator where he says, this has to be stopped. We've just had two that have died, and they are relatives to it. We just need to stop everything and contemplate what it is. No, the mediator continues to give instruction, even though the two died, and that you have all of them in mourning. And he says in verse 13, you shall eat it in a holy place because it is your due and your son's due from the Lord's food offering. So I am commanded. Moses is saying it's not my idea. I'm commanded for you to do this. I am commanding then you, because I'm mediator of the law, to do this. You continue on with your priestly service. You do that. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, verse 14, you shall eat it in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifices of the peace offering of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring it with the food offering of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord commanded. The mediator of the law speaks forth from God the word that was given from God. You continue on with your priestly service. I don't care about the situation that has taken place. I've lost two nephews. Aaron has lost two sons. And the other two sons of Aaron, they have lost two brothers. But you continue on with your service. We have a duty before God, and we must do that duty. Moses is speaking rightly because he is the mediator of the law. Moses is speaking rightly because our focus has to be on serving God. He is speaking rightly in that. He's not talking out of place whatsoever. It is that which is commanded by God, and what just took place with Nadab and Abihu took place because God was not adhered to, he was not listened to. Don't you think that at this time that everyone understood that God was serious? Let me make an application to that where we look over in Acts the 5th chapter. And there in Acts the 5th chapter, because there's an application in connection with what takes place here in Leviticus 10 with what takes place in Acts the 5th chapter. Remember Leviticus 10 during the Mosaic period of time. Now we come to the age in which Christ rules. We come to the age in which it is the gospel of Christ Jesus that Jesus has given. And we all understand this particular event very well. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, verse 1, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the reason that he did that, I am convinced, is where if you look in the 4th chapter, you have a man by the name of Barnabas. Joseph, who is also called Barnabas. And that he had sold a field, verse 37, that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Not just a portion of it, but every bit of it. And don't you think wherever that took place, even though Barnabas was not looking for it, that they understood the giving nature of this grand child of God, this grand Christian. And I am sure that there were those that were saying, we appreciate the example that you've set forth for us. You sold land and you gave the entire amount and gave it to the apostles. We are so proud of you. Thank you for doing that. I'm going to say, because of that, as we look here in Acts the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Ananias and Sapphira knew of that, and they took note of it, and they would like to have some of that notoriety also. They would like to have people come by and pat them on the back, but they didn't do as Barnabas did. They kept back to a part of it, which was not part of the issue, as we're going to see. Peter said in verse 3 of Acts 5th chapter, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it then that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. what Peter says to him, you didn't have to give anything. You could have given a portion. You could have given all. It doesn't matter. While it was in your control, you could do with it what you want. But what you did is that you lied to God. And when Ananias heard these words, verse 5, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came on all who heard it. And as we, of course, know, and I'll not take time to read all of it, this is repeated one more time with Sapphira, where she comes in and is confronted by Peter and the other brethren. You remember I said back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, that the Lord there with Nadab and Abihu was making a statement not only to Aaron and Aaron's sons who would do service for him in the tabernacle, but also for all of Israel. When God gives command, he expects it to be followed. And now you come to this age, at this time, whenever the Mosaic Law is no longer in effect, but rather you have the gospel of Christ Jesus, you have the law of Christ in effect at this time, where it's not based upon those physical works as it was back during the Mosaic Law, but now upon grace. And God is making a statement once again, even though grace is in effect under the law of Christ Jesus. When God gives law, he expects it to be adhered to. He expects to be obeyed. And we have the same situation, and both, very interestingly, at the beginning of those two dispensations, the Mosaical dispensation and now also here during the law of Christ in the New Testament dispensation of time. And God had to make statement again, yes, it's a different law. No, the Mosaic law is not in effect. Yes, grace is in effect. Mercy is in effect. But I am still the same God, and I expect to be adhered to, and I expect my word to be adhered to. Very interesting that it says, after the death of Ananias, and fear fell upon all. We'll come back to that before we finish this lesson. But let's go back, if you would, to Leviticus, the 10th chapter once again. And we got down through verse 15. Now we have the mediator in verse 16. And the mediator is still doing the work of the mediator as he should do. And he's crossing every T and dotting every I. He's not letting one jot or tittle pass away from the law that has been given to him. He is looking for, as he should, as mediator of the law, absolute, strict, precise adherence to God's law. It says, now Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering. You remember back in the 6th chapter, verse 23, that offering was to be eaten by the priest completely. It was to be eaten by the priest and the high priest. And behold, it was burned up. It was not to be offered as a burnt offering. It was to be eaten by the priest. That was the law of God. And the mediator, Moses, was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron. And I'm sure that in his mind he said, what are you thinking? Two of your brothers just died for disobedience before God. They offered strange fire or unauthorized fire before God, and they died. What are you thinking? Do you think that God's going to have deference toward you? Well, I've already taken two of the sons of Aaron. I'm not going to take any more. No, you are in danger and you have disobeyed God. And he says in verse 17, why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary? Since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord. Why have you not done it? Not only have you disobeyed, but now you've taken away the aspect of atonement not only for yourselves, but also for all the congregation. What you have done is not only affect you, but it is affect all of Israel. What were you thinking? The mediator of the law is doing the work of the mediator just as he should do, just as he was directed by God, by God's law, by command, and he's pressing home that point even in this situation where two have died and now two are in danger. The two remaining sons of Aaron. Verse 19. And Aaron said to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering," he's talking about his sons, "and their burnt offering before the Lord. Today they have done that. Today, on the day that they have lost their two brothers, they continued to do the service before God. Today, while they are in mourning, they have continued to do the work that the Lord has given them to do. Today, in which our family has been decimated, and all of us are of sad heart, they've continued to do the work." And then he says, "And yet, such things as these have happened to me." And what he's talking about, "I have lost two of my sons on this day. And those two other sons of mine have lost their brothers, and we are in severe mourning at this time." And then he says, "If I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved?" And what he's saying there is, how could I, with the right mind, with the right heart, do that which is not right before the Lord, because I'm not doing it in the way that I should be doing it, with the thoughts of my two sons that have lost their life? How could I carry out, and how could they carry out, all these things in this deep agony that we are in? And now the mediator of the law speaks up in verse 20. And he says, when Moses heard that, he approved. The mediator of the law that had demanded, "You do not show any emotion over the loss of your sons, Aaron. You don't show any emotion over the loss of your brothers, the two remaining sons. You don't show any emotion over that. You don't show any emotion before Israel whatsoever. You continue to do the service of the Lord. You continue to do that." That's the mediator doing his law, doing his work rather through the law. And then this mediator who had crossed every T and dotted every I to make sure that everything was right, who was making sure that everything was being done diligently in worship and service to God, because all of Israel, the mediator, Aaron, and the two sons recognize now those that disobey God face death. That mediator then, and I'm going to say just by inference, the mediator and the God of heaven both approved because of the situation that was at hand. This mediator that had demanded acute obedience to God's will recognized, this is now a time for mercy. This is now a time for comfort and care of those that are in mourning. You know, if I think about this, I think about some passages from the New Testament. Look with me in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 7. Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 7. And this, of course, is the Beatitudes of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught. And Jesus makes this statement in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I believe that there are brethren today, I know that I've met some, that are without mercy. Matter of fact, we're going to be looking at some of God's people here in just a moment that were without mercy. They had no concern of mercy at all about others. They were concerned, especially as we're going to be looking, about their own traditions. And that happens in congregations today, where people become so fixated on crossing every T and dotting every I that flows over into traditions also, that they have no mercy upon people. And not only just tradition, but also in the keeping of God's word today, where circumstances mean nothing. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." He's not talking about the belligerent. He's not talking about the rebellious, those that go against God's word on their own behalf with intent and purpose. He's talking about there is times for mercy. There are those that sit with family members and friends who are sick, that miss services, miss time of coming together and assembling together. would anyone say we must discipline that individual that missed the services because Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Would we have mercy the way that God expects us to have mercy toward one another? When we look in the 9th chapter of Matthew and we go to verse 13, Jesus says this, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but the sinners. And he says this, of course, in connection with a recognition of the fact as to the purpose that he came to this earth for. And the purpose that he came for was to offer mercy. Justice would demand that whenever Christ would come to this earth, that he would wipe out all living human beings. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. We understand that from Romans 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 10 and going on down through verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he understood, and this is something that we must understand as Christians, that there are situations that take place where we show mercy. Where we show mercy. When we look over in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, we, of course, remember that Jesus is addressing the scribes, Pharisees, and then he calls them hypocrites several times. And in verse 23, he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Listen, the weightier matters of the law, how he describes the weightier matters of the law. Justice, that is justice against the rebellious, justice against those that reject God's will. That's a weightier matter of the law. You stand for the truth. You give no place to the adversary in false doctrine in any way. But also the weightier matter of the law that he discusses here is mercy, which these people that he is addressing, these scribes and Pharisees, have no mercy whatsoever. They would even steal from widows all of their possession and leave them penniless just to put in the coffers of the temple so that they could say that they have done the Lord's will. And not only mercy, but also faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, but also faithfulness to what Jesus had mentioned in the chapter before, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength, mind with all thy strength. And the second commandment is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That faithfulness is not only to God, but faithfulness to one another. And he brings that point very clearly home. When we look over in Romans, the 12th chapter, and there I want to look at verses 3 through 8. Paul says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Stop there for just a moment. Mediator of the law back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, came to the point of understanding that he could not think of himself or even his position in more highly manner than he ought to think, but also to think with mercy. He heard what Aaron had to say and he approved because he understood God approved also. Someone says, preacher, how do you know God approved? Let me tell you how I know. Moses, Aaron, and the two remaining sons did not die before the Lord. God also approved. God also approved. And then he says, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You think with wisdom. And you think with mercy. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body, and individually members one of another, having gifts differing. And I don't believe that he's speaking here of miraculous gifts, but what we have ability to do individually. According to the grace given us, let us use them if it is teaching or prophesying in proportion to our faith. If it is in serving, that same word is deacon, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, speaking there of the eldership. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We see here, God has given us law. And I will say that every T must be crossed and every I must be dotted. We must adhere to God's will. But we must have mercy also. And sometimes situations demand that. I want you to look at Acts, the 5th chapter, once again. And as we look at this, we understand that two people at the beginning of the church, the beginning of the gospel of Christ Jesus being taught, when now the Mosaic law is no longer in effect, God made the statement, yes, it's a different law, but I am the same God. Two people were struck down dead, and that was known by all of the church. Verse 11, Acts 5 and verse 11, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. That means it was in the community also. Did you hear about the church of Christ? Did you hear about what God did to those that disobeyed God? Fear came upon everyone. Members, I'm sure, was talking to one another. How can we live if that happened to Ananias and Sapphira? How in the world can we live? And you would think to yourselves, since that happened, surely the numbers decreased because God showed forth that His will must be adhered to. He showed forth that He would not be made a mockery of. He showed forth that that which was holy must be distinguished between that which is common. God would not put up with lying. Surely people were saying, don't you go down to that church because you might die. Don't have anything to do with it. And surely the numbers decreased. I want you to look at verse 14. And the more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Why was that? Because people inherently, whether they admit it or not, they want direction. And God gives direction through the Word, and they understand and appreciate authority, and they understand the authority of God. They also understand that not only is there death awaiting those that disobey God's will, but also that there is such great blessing that will be to those, given to those that will be children of God. I guess that if I was to entitle this lesson, I would entitle it this way. The same God, in the same chapter, Leviticus 10, two different reactions from the same God. That same God that struck down Nadab and Abihu, that same God that struck down Ananias and Sapphira, that same God that told them not to mourn, that same God that told them they must obey, they must make distinction between the common and that which was sanctified by the Lord in their worship. That same God showed mercy. And that same God was the God that these people of the 5th chapter and verse 14 of Acts came to. That gives us a lesson. If we stand for the truth, we don't diminish it any way, and yet we act with wisdom, we act with understanding, and we act with mercy, we will be blessed. There may be those in the audience this evening, whether online or there at the building, you're in the audience. Maybe you're not a child of God. One thing to understand, God is not to be feared from the standpoint of walking around being scared all the time. He is to be respected in the word that He gives, and we are to adhere to His word. We understand, though, that He is a God of mercy. And every one of us in this building and also online that have become a child of God has experienced the mercy of God because we've been forgiven of our sins, and we've been forgiven of our sins by obedience to the Word of God, being baptized for the remission of our sins. Maybe you've done that, but you've not acted with mercy in your life. Maybe you have the attitude of crossing every T and dotting every I, which is exactly what we are to do, but maybe there have been situations that have arisen that you've not shown the proper mercy. the proper understanding. You know, that takes away from the love that has been shown to us by the Lord. If we forgive, if we show mercy, we'll be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we don't show mercy, we'll not receive mercy from the Lord. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints. We're here with you to pray on your behalf. If you need those prayers, we're here with you to assist you in your obedience unto God by being baptized this very afternoon. All things are ready. It is ready for you to do that. And understand this, that you have a merciful, forgiving God that you stand before. All He's asking for you to do, because He gave His Son, is obey Him. And understand this, you have a loving congregation of people that are urging you to become a child of God or to come back to the Lord if you've strayed, because they are ready and willing to show mercy. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to stand as we sing this song of encouragement.
Number 703, we're marching to Zion.
Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching on to Zion, beautiful Zion. We're marching.